Welcome to Dramas with a Side of Kimchi, the fangirl party every drama fan wants to join. Grab your kimchi and face masks and let's chat Asian dramas. I'm K-Drama Jen.
I'm Carrie the Maknae.
And I'm Drama Geek.
Don't forget that we have a Patreon page. We have a monthly episode we release exclusively for our patrons, and our patrons also get an exclusive invitation to our Discord. This is the place where we chat daily about the dramas we're watching, we participate in group watches, and we support each other in our drama addiction. You can find the link in your show notes.
All right, today we are going to talk about what we're watching, and it's going to be for spring 2024. That's hopeful that it is spring and not winter.
Mm-hmm. In Texas, we have both.
I mean, we're having some El Nino stuff going on up here, so we do have some spring stuff. But yeah, anyway, so
it's winter where I am, always.
Going, yeah, right? winter. But we're headed into spring. What are we watching? So that's what we're talking about today. Our first category is just going to be real short because K-Muse couldn't be here with us, but she wanted to make sure that we talked about a drama that she dropped. So the rest of us don't really have any dramas that we've started and dropped, but Queen of Divorce is the one that K-Muse wants to make sure that we talk about, or at least share her feelings on. And looking in the Discord like comment section, she is not alone. So mm-hmm. You have to share. Oh, so you have to share my feelings so that no one suffers like I did. The OTP has absolutely no chemistry at all. And I feel bad because this is the, I can't pull his name out right now, but it's his first lead role. He's had a lot of really good secondary characters. And it's sad that his first lead role, there was zero chemistry. I don't think it was his fault. And while there is a hint of possible solid plot, it quickly falls apart as the actions of our female lead become more and more nonsensical. This show is pointless and is not worth the time. So,
wow, that is like a couple of...
She was not happy.
And again, looking at the comments, I don't drop into all the threads all the time if it's something I'm not watching, but this one was one I was on the fence about and I wasn't sure if I wanted to watch it or not. So after reading other people's comments and hearing what she has to say after finishing it, yeah, it's a pass, I think, for anybody. Unless you're a really big fan of his and you just really want to see something that he is in, then maybe you watch it. But yeah, it does not seem like anybody, the plot was not there. So
yeah, that's what I've heard too. So
yeah, all right. I guess so now we're gonna do round robin style and we're gonna list what we're watching, and since all of us are pretty much watching the same thing except for maybe one or two shows, we're gonna like list what we're watching and then we're all gonna discuss it because we're watching all of the same things. My first one, I'm going to talk about Flex X Cop. It is my currently airing favorite show that I'm watching. I'm actually, when I get done with this, I don't know if I'll watch that or there's a new show starting that will be discussed later that I probably will watch instead. I don't know, but Flex X Cop is just, it was not on my radar. It surprised me that I have enjoyed it so much. It is it's centered around cases. And so the setup and the format is really easy to watch as it's airing. So it's not one where it's like, oh, wait and binge it. I'm sure you can binge it and it'll be great. But the format works really well for just kind of watching a couple at a time because there's cases that they solve within one or two, two episodes, and then they move on to the next case. But on Bohyun, he's been hit or miss for a lot of people. I know he was in another drama just recently where people were like, I'm not sure about his acting, but like this character mm-hmm. fits his acting style to a T. He's so good. And then the team that they've set up have amazing chemistry. There's not like a lot of romance, but there's just enough of like different pairings and stuff that they're fun to watch. And then like, the bromance isn't like super, super in your face either, but it's also very enjoyable to watch. So I thoroughly enjoy this. I just I love all of the characters. I think that they've done a really good job of really building the team and making it enjoyable to see them solve cases, which isn't always the with cops and detectives. They're not always the smartest. And I mean, a lot of it is kind of far-fetched. I mean, he's rich and he's not really even a cop. He's doing his thing with them and he it works. It works. And so I just it's just fun and enjoyable to watch. It's my like feel-good drama with, you know, serial killer. I mean, there's really I'm trying to think. But more just killers. They're just they're just after killers. So it's not serial killer focused drama, but you know.
And I came to this one kind of late because I was watching the Discord thread, watching, reading, and everybody was like, "This is my favorite of the week, and I love it so much." And it was not on my radar just because he's not one of my go-to, I have to watch this actor. And so I started it, and the thing that I struggled, because y'all know how I am with secondhand embarrassment.
Right.
And he has this confidence that is totally baseless. Just like, you're not a genius. Yes, you put some things together, but you're not a genius. Stop saying that. So, but he has his shining moments too. Like in the, I think it's the first or second episode where he rallies his social media people to come find the guy who, the older man who got lost. You know, that was kind of cool. So it's starting to hit its stride for me. I'm starting to enjoy it. And, but I'm just like, he's got to quit calling himself a genius because he's not. But his relatable side is also coming out because the ending of that first case and how it hits home for him. I'm just like, ah, now
So,
I see where he is.
what episode are you on?
I just finished three this morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he it I feel like the team, once they start gelling and he starts working with them instead of trying to solve it instead of them and like showboat or whatever, is where the show really kind of hits its stride and that I really that's when it became my go-to favorite watch of the week is once they become more where they're working together.
Okay, so that is going to happen. Hopefully soon.
That I'm also around episode three, but I have a reason. I mean, everyone knows if I can binge, I will binge, but I can't because this is the one that my husband and son are watching with me. So every time I'm in town, we watch an episode. And so some of you may know that I'm doing a lot of travel for work. So I'm really not in town that much. I've actually seen let's see, Kimmuse and Drama Geek and Miyata Mama and CL Kita. If I t add up all of those days, I've had more days with my fangirls, fellow fangirls, than I have with my family over the last 2 months, which is kind of
Ooh.
crazy. Isn't
Yeah,
that insane? Yeah.
it
But I've
is.
been home now for a little bit. So anyway, but oh, but they're not here, my husband and son. So that's why we're not watching. We're on to like episode three. But we're really enjoying it. And I think if you haven't started watching it, we should maybe give just a little explanation because the reason I started watching it, K-Muse and Drama Geek were talking about it and they were explaining that, you know, there it's this guy who is like a Chaebol kind of, and he's always been sort of like kind of a playboy, but in the sense of like he's you know, he just is goofing around a lot and spending a lot of money and so on. And he ends up joining the police force temporarily because his dad is running for office, and so they want him to like be doing something that looks impressive. I mean, there's a reason for this, and you can that once you see all that. But just saying that what's funny about the show is that he leverages the fact that he's a Chaebol to help solve some of these mysteries. And so he has access to things that the other police people don't. And so that's what makes it super fun and entertaining. And plus his fashion sense is like I mean, every time he puts on an outfit, I'm like, what decade is this? What's up with your hair? But anyway, it's super fun and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm enjoying it also because it is one that you don't have to binge because it's sort of like a case of the week kind of thing. I mean, it's over a couple of episodes. So you can watch a couple of episodes, take a break, come back to it, and you're still able to kind of keep that momentum going. So that's Flex X Cop, and it is on. Are we? Where are you watching it, Vicky?
Hulu.
Or Hulu.
It's Hulu.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that one's Hulu.
Yes. All right. So let's see. I'm going to choose Dr. Slump for my drama. And this is one that I had highly anticipated because I love Park Hyung-sik. And I thought the pairing with him and Park Shin-hye, I'm just like, huh, that'll be interesting. And their natural chemistry, I know we've discussed it before, but I love it. And it's staying pretty solid all the way through. The goofy romantic stuff that I'm trying not to spoil, but it's kind of been grating, kind of not. But I like that they're finding their place and they're finding their place together and progressing forward from their desperate circumstances. And so I'm liking that. I think we've hit kind of a slow period at this point. What episode are we on? Did we just finish 12?
I'm behind, so I think
remember,
that.
But
yeah, I think last week was 11 or 9 and 10, and then this week is 11 and 12, or maybe the, I don't know.
I have 12 marked, so we just finished
okay.
12.
Okay.
So, but anyway, overall, it's working for me, and I like where the story is, and I love her family. They are, her mom talks too much and goes a little too far, but she always comes back and, like, I don't know. The only thing that really bugs me is the brother because he's like shamelessly jobless. And I'm just like, dude, go get a purpose in life. But other than that, I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. And I mean, if it was Park Hyung-sik alone, I would still enjoy it. But his chemistry with everybody is just, it's really playful and fun. And it's a good balance of the heavy stuff and the light stuff. And I'm liking it.
So I have to say, like, I kind of agree, like, even if he was just by himself, like, smirking and, like, laughing and being goofy and making, like, his physical comedy and his expressions and things, I probably could watch at least a couple of episodes of just that. Eventually, I would need real plot, but I have to say, like, he's so enjoyable. And then they have actually very, very good chemistry, and then he has chemistry with everybody. So just enjoyable. Where I'm today is episode 13 just dropped, and so I am a little worried about where we are right now, but I'm hoping that it hits its stride once more, and there's kind of like a mystery that's happening at the same time. But
yeah,
just their romance part is adorable, like just adorable, and I love her family, and I love how her mom has kind of like accepted him and taken him in, and is like, that whole family actually is accepting him in a way that he hasn't had in his life. So anyway, Dr. Slump, if you are not watching, it's a good one to start watching, because you can binge a lot of it if you want, because we're all over episode 13 and there's 16.
Yeah, I've strategically and behind, because I feel like it is in that section that if I watch it live, that it might dim my how much I like the show. And so I think I'm just gonna wait and then binge the last section of it and just kind of watch it all at once, and then be able to, you know, hopefully not have the angst or whatever affect me in the same way as if I watched it every week. So I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've enjoyed their take and depiction of depression and everything with her. And so again, I'm really liking the drama. I think it's one that you should, that is a good one to watch, but I'm just waiting, and then I'm going to binge everything. So
I do wish that they did not drink so much. This is, all K-dramas, yes, we are showing a lot of drinking, but they're both on medication and they are constantly drinking to excess. And I cringe every single time. I'm like, oh my God, you're doctors. What are you doing? But anyway, that's just a sign. But otherwise, yes, I'm also really enjoying that. Okay, so the drama I'm going to talk about is Wedding Impossible. And this is one that I kind of started and I didn't even know you guys were watching. So I think it's pretty cool that you are. So in this one, there is, again, we have a Chaebol. and we have the Chaebol's friend, who is an actress, And she has not been a particularly successful actress. She's had a lot of like minor roles. And her friend needed her to kind of cover for him because he is a chaebol that he is gay.
Okay.
So the other thing, but that's the premise, right? And so he wants her to marry him, so that he can basically not have to inherit the company and be able to kind of live his life. And so this is we're kind of in this position where she doesn't really want to do that at first, but along the way, of course, she meets his brother, who is all about trying to stop her from destroying his brother's life in his eyes. And so he's super involved and does all kinds of things to try to thwart this potential relationship. And so I'm actually really enjoying it. I think that, her acting is really good. I can't say quite as much about everyone else, but I think hers is very good. And I'm finding it an enjoyable watch.
Yeah, I think that so the Chable friend that he usually the actor usually plays like I think he was just the bad guy or like the bully or like in what was the cat one? Or no, she turned into a dog.
Oh, good day to be a dog.
with Cha Eun-woo. Yeah. I'm pretty wasn't he the one maybe he what no
No, I
he's
don't
a
think it
different
was
person.
him. Hang on, I'll look it
Anyway,
up.
I was gonna say I don't know that he normally gets a lot of like really I'm trying to think. So what was he
Well, he was in My Roommate is a
oh he's
Gumiho. He
in
was the best
Junior.
friend
Oh
in their
yeah.
friend
Okay.
group.
And I
Yeah.
Big Mouth. I didn't watch that. He was just so yeah. I mean, he's had some smaller roles and everything. I'm enjoying his character. I really hope that they do have some good representation with his character and everything. So I like their relationship. I like how like it. He hasn't always made the best choices that they've shown and everything, but I do like him as a character. The brother is played by the Prince. From the Queen's Umbrella, and I loved him in that role, and I loved his romance in that role. I do think that he's being thrown into a lead role and having to carry it a little bit more than that. Maybe he'll have to grow. I feel like this will give him the opportunity to grow, but I am enjoying their interactions. I do enjoy one of the funniest scenes was them. Again, it's drinking, but them in the back seat with the grandpa and the driver and everything they were saying and the grandpa's reaction. And the grandpa is, I feel bad when these actors have to transition into the grandpa role or whatever, because he's in FlexX Cop as a ex-cop and the dad, and he fits that role and everything, but now he's also this grandpa and this other one, and he's all grumpy, and there's like screenshots of him like reacting to like them trying to ask for permission to marry and everything, and he's kind of hard to read sometimes, but I feel like his grandpa isn't completely dissimilar to a lot of other grandpa roles and stuff, but I'm interested to see kind of where this particular actor takes it or whatever, because again, he usually plays like the dad or the cop or whatever. So, but in general, it's one of those easy watches for me, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and same. It's just because, the brother is very determined to make sure that his older brother doesn't get married and screw everything up. And his latest turn, where he's like, well, I'll just seduce you. I'll just make you fall in love with me. I'm just like, dude, she hates you so much right now. But anyway, I'm loving the setup. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes because this is a love triangle that's not a love triangle. And right now it's kind of an enemies to lovers on one side and a friends to friends on the other side. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I like it. I'm a little confused why Grandpa is favoring these two younger grandsons, besides the fact that his legitimate grandchildren are just idiots. Maybe that's why.
I think that's a big part of it, and also like I think it's affection for his daughter and dislike for the father of those children. Like, I think he really dislikes the father of those children, but has to keep him around because he was the original husband of his daughter or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think he's like mayor of Seoul or something, some high position.
The father, or the son-in-law for the grandfather,
the legitimate
father of the
the legitimate
not
one, not the one that
making
died. Yeah, it's a little confusing. I'm like, what is it with all these confusing families and dramas lately? I'm so lost. But
and I'm sure there's some guilt because we don't know why, like, the parents died in a mysterious way, so there's probably something wrapped up in that as well. We'll figure it, like, that'll come out. But that's why the younger brother is, because he's not just determined to not let her marry him, he's determined to make him, his brother, the one who takes over the company. And he's doing, like, he's working and striving not to make himself, but to make his brother. So that's an interesting dynamic of, like, the whole guilt and responsibility, all that kind of stuff. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out and, like, what his motivations are behind trying to make his brother so successful and everything. So
agreed. And this one's on Vicky, right?
It is. Yeah.
Yes. I get lost because, like, Dr. Slump's on Netflix, Flex X Cop is on Hulu, Wedding Impossible's on Vicky. I do a lot of bouncing.
I know, and then you got Amazon Prime, too, because we just finished up Marry My Husband, Amazon. Yeah, that was Amazon Prime. So, all right, so the next one I'm going to discuss, I actually just finished it yesterday. It was a binge watch for me, and it's not currently airing, but it just finished up recently. It's Night Flower. And it stars Honey Lee, and she is a widow by day and a helper of the people by night. She wears a mask. She has a sword. She goes out and she, you know, makes sure that people have food, and she makes sure that to take care of kids who might be kidnapped and sold off. And so she does all of this at night when she's supposed to be sitting at a shrine for her husband who is dead and just wailing and missing him for 15 years. Like, the recent dramas, there's quite a few that center around a widow, and just what they had to go through and what they were and were not allowed to do is just it just boggles my mind of, like, I mean, really, you should just go and lay on their tomb and die with them if that's what you guys require of me after my husband dies.
Yeah.
And this poor girl, she never even met her husband. He was not present on their wedding day. Like, she's straight up married a ghost. And I mean, he died on their wedding day, but, like, she performed all of her, like, the ceremony and stuff by herself. So she really did not get to actually enjoy anything that had to do with the marriage before she became a widow. But her brother also died, went missing around that time. So she's focused on helping people and actually having some kind of purpose in her life at night where she goes out, and then also trying to find her brother. So person that is the lead actor in it is Lee Jong-won. And he was just in, The Golden Spoon. So he was one of the main roles in The Golden Spoon. And then he also, he was in Hospital Playlist. And then something that Carrie and the Mocknay and I watched together, My Unfamiliar Family. Mm-hmm. He was the barista in that. I think we called him the hottie barista.
Yes, we did.
He was also in one that I watched, the Amanza, which was a very, very sad drama about cancer. And he was the brother, and he was really good in that. But, like, this role for him is, like, I feel like it probably won't be considered his breakout role because he's had a lot of other things. But he went toe-to-toe with Honey Lee. Their chemistry was amazing. And it's not a romance-focused drama, though there are a lot of little romances. Lee Ki-woo is in this. And it's my favorite role he's been in since Flower Boy Ramen Shop. He was delightful. I loved him. He gets a little side romance, which is fun. And it has political intrigue. Ikiwoo is he is the secondhand person with the king, so you've got the king involved. I loved the different people in that, but that's kind of the side, and you get a lot of like her having to go and be with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law is played by our favorite Ajima, and their interactions. Half the time you're just like, oh my gosh, give the girl a break. She doesn't have to be the perfect widow. Like she shouldn't have to go starve herself and not eat but one meal a day. But she does such a great job, their relationship, the whole setup and everything. It's just filled with amazing, really enjoyable characters. There's a what is she? A merchant woman who works with Honey Lee's character. I loved her character. I loved the female, like throughout the entire thing, it is centered around Honey Lee, her story, her discoveries about her brother and all that kind of stuff. And she is just so delightful. The comedy at the very beginning is a little bit hammy, but not so much. Like it's just fun and funny throughout the whole drama. It's going on my favorites list for the year. Again, I think it ended at the very beginning of January, so it will be considered a 2024 drama. So I'll make sure I'll talk about it at the end of the year, but delightful all the way through. And it's 12 episodes. It was the perfect amount of episodes for me. And it just, I probably, it just finished it. So a 10 out of 10 is what I'll give it now. I might drop it later if I don't think about the characters that much, but I doubt that's going to happen because they were just all very distinct and fun, and I loved it.
Well, good. You told me too that it was so female-centric and like they stay strong female, and I'm
They
just like,
do.
that's kind of what I've been
Absolutely.
craving.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason I started that. And it was just like it was on my radar because, yeah, it started in January and I was just like, maybe. And I got distracted by other things. And I'm very glad that I started it. I'm in the middle of episode three right now. So they're still kind of being a tiny bit slapsticky. Like she's just stepped into a puddle of mud in her white widow's clothes. I'm just like, oh, that's not going to go well. But overall, I'm liking the side characters. I'm loving the captain of the guard, just because he's very upright, but like he's not super serious. He smiles. Like I was surprised when he smiled in the first episode, and then he smiled again. And I'm like, wait, so he's not just like this uber serious character all the time? So this is gonna be fun. So, and her friend, her maid servant friend, and
She's not, and that's one of the things I really liked about it is through and through, she's not her maid because she saved her, and so she's her companion in a way that she's never been her servant. So like she earns her own money and all of that. She's more of a, again, she's a helper companion, but she could leave at any time and go set up her own stuff. So
Gotcha. Okay. I wasn't clear on that, but I'm assuming it becomes clear later. But yeah, I
yeah.
like her too, and just how spunky she is and how she's not afraid to lecture her. Why do you keep going out at night? You're gonna get caught and you keep coming back late. And just like, yeah,
Yeah.
it's a fun dynamic. I like the whole thing, and I'm being told I should binge it so that I can get to the fun stuff. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm definitely planning to keep watching, and I would love to just binge. I had planned to binge it, and I downloaded a whole bunch of episodes, and then Vicky's been doing this weird thing for me where the downloads re expire before I have a chance to watch, even though it's only been like a day. So anyway, my plan to like binge it on the plane did not work. But I started watching it actually because an outside friend had recommended it to me. And so I was like, oh, it has Honey Lee. And so I said, yes, I'm definitely going to watch. So I think exactly at the same spot that the Maknae is, because I just saw that scene that you were talking about. So my plan is to binge as soon as I'm able to, because I'm really enjoying it. And it's just an interesting, I mean, as Drama Geek said, we've had a lot of shows over the last year that kind of focuses on what happens to widows during that time period. And it's really, Like it's an area that we hadn't really focused as much on before. I mean, we had a little bit of that in My Love from Another Star, where they wanted to kill the young girl, who also was not, her husband wasn't there when she got married to him, but way back. And so it's really interesting, but you kind of feel for her, for sure. So
It would be
yeah,
so
enjoying it.
boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Your whole focus is just mourning your husband. And it would be different if she had a child or something like that, but like she has nothing. And she even draws his pit head on the bottom of his little what is it? Not tomb, because it's wood. So it's not a
Oh, the plaque, the
tombstone or,
memorial
yeah,
plaque.
the little plaque. She's got a little caricature of him on the bottom that she turns over and talks to, because she doesn't even know what he looks like. She
No.
never met him, so she doesn't even know what this guy looks like. And she has to sit in there and mourn him all the time. And that's like her, oh, you just need to go in and you just need to go in there and mourn him for a little bit longer today, because you're acting out.
It's her timeout corner.
It's her timeout corner. Yeah.
Well, and then the competition with the other young widow in the neighborhood and about
God.
who's more widow-worthy and just the whole
Yeah.
thing. It's fun. And did we say this is on Vicky? Because we should have said this is on Vicky.
Yeah, it's on Vicky.
Okay. Alrighty. So now are we branching off into our individual dramas? I believe we are.
Yes.
Okay, so
Yeah, but
my outlier here is Sword and Fairy. It's a Chinese drama. And I picked it up because it's starring Zhu Gai and Yu Shu Xin, who is also known as Esther Yu. That's her Western name. Anyway, and Zhu Gai, I will try anything that he's in
yeah.
just because I'm that much of a fangirl, but I'm liking this. I'm terrible at describing it. Drama geeks just like, no, I'm not going to watch that. But the low production values are apparent. Like you can tell that this is pretty much all set pieces and they just kind of keep running around the three same sound stages. But they're, the story itself is interesting because Zhu Kai and Esther Yu, they've been hanging around together for the last 3 years. They just kind of woke up in the same place and they don't know who they are. And so they're trying to figure out who they are, why they have these powers that seem to be tied together. And then there's this cult that's convinced that our female lead is Lord Ming, who's like the most evil being to have walked the earth. And they want to resurrect Lord Ming. And so they want to capture her and get her power. It's just like, it's kind of convoluted, but it's kind of fun. There's also these twins who are supporting the land somehow. And the male twin is played by a female actress, and the female twin is played by a male actress, but he's only a female when he's out in public. In private, he's male. And it has something to do with the power that's being drawn from them by the land and the fountain that they're tied to. Like it's a Chinese fantasy. And so it's going to be convoluted, but I'm still following it. There's very little politicking. And they're collecting people like this is going to be an ensemble. They're collecting like this head of the Tinkers Guild is with them now. And it's just, I'm having fun and I'm enjoying it. It's totally my fluff drama watch, but it's got enough mystery and they have enough depth to their characters and their acting that I'm intrigued rather than just kind of rolling my eyes. So it's a lot of fun for me. So this is again called Sword and Fairy, and it's on Viki.
I watched the first like maybe 20 minutes of this. Again, Shukai, Esther Yu, why not? And then it wasn't that I didn't, I basically just sort of, actually, I think what happened is it might have been on iQIYI that I was, and I was looking on iQIYI and what they had was not this one. They had something by the same name, but it's not the same show. So anyway, I did plan to go back to it. So let me know if you still like it after you go a little bit further, because I might like
Okay. It's going to be a
it.
while. I keep getting distracted by other dramas, but I am enjoying it. So.
Drama Ge Oh, and Drama Geek's not watching this because you specifically said that, yeah.
Yeah, this is me all by myself.
It's you. Okay. So I'm just going to say that I started Queen of Tears today. It's really not fair, I think, because I think it dropped like 9 a.m. or something Eastern time. I don't even know. So which would be like 6 a.m. for my Portland friend. Anyway, Queen of Tears has Kim Soo Hyun, and I've been waiting for him to just come back and be on my screen again. So he was last in It's Okay to Not Be Okay that I know of that was small screen. And I've loved him forever, like Scream High and beyond. And he was in My Love from Another Star. In this show, Queen of Tears, the female lead was the friend in Descendants of the Sun, the second lead girl, and I'm so sorry, I cannot remember her name.
Kim
Let me look
Ji-won.
there. There, yes.
Ji-won, yeah.
There you go. So, and then the what has drawn me towards this one is that the writing team, the writer is from My Love from Another Star and Crash Landing on You. So we want to same person. So in the very beginning of the show that I've been able to see, I know this is going to come as a shock, but what I noticed was the cinematography, because there's an opening sequence that has this very like dreamy feel to it. And I was like, oh, cinematography. I'm going to mention that. But the storyline is that she is the Chaebol, like she's the daughter of the big fancy conglomerate. And he was sort of they got married, and he was more like a nobody at that time. And so they, like, if you read about it, it says like that they have this marriage, they go through trouble and try to reunite or something like that. Like that's the overview. And I was like, I don't know how exciting this sounds, but I love this actor. And she's been very enjoyable, so I'm jumping in, and I'll have more to say very soon. But that's all I have for now, is just that, yeah, I mean, come on, Kim Soo Hyun, I'm gonna definitely be there. He looks good in his suit.
Of course.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, gotta go for that.
Well, and it also has one of my favorite secondary actors. I don't know what to call him. Kwak Dong-yeong. He was the younger brother in Vincenzo, or the lead
Oh,
in
yeah.
House of Electronics. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one that's just never been given a lead role.
He hasn't he?
Yeah.
He was the lead in
No.
Gauss Electronics.
Oh, that's right. He was. Yeah. I have started a binge. I'm not quite sure if I'm going to keep going. We'll see. But because I finished Nightflower and then waiting for episodes of other things, I started watching Inspector Gu. And this is one where I watched the first like 5, 10 minutes of it when it originally aired. And I was like, okay, I cannot handle how gross they're making her. Not because I can't handle people like that, but just that like that had to be her characteristic. And that we're gonna have a like female inspector, and then now she has to have like flies hanging out by her hair because she can't wash it. But I got now I've kind of gone back to it, and I've got to the point where you do understand like where she's at emotionally and mentally because of what she's been through. And so I understand where they were going with her character and everything. I'm also not 100% sure about making the insurance company be where everybody's trying to scam them, especially after spending so much time on the phone recently trying to get my insurance company to pay for something they're supposed to pay for. So like I'm kind of on the fence of like I'm not sure, but Inspector Gu has E Young Ah, and then her nemesis or the person, the cat and mouse game she's playing is with Kim Hae Joon, and I've really enjoyed her performance in the first couple of episodes. And then I actually really like the almost, I mean, she's not a mob boss, but like her intro, their introduction to Inspector Gu in the spa, the sauna of being in the bathtub thingy and then getting out and walking and getting the towel and all of that. Kim Hae Suk, I was like very intrigued by her character. And she
Her
was like, yeah,
back
I want you to use
tattoo.
the camera to where you can really show that maybe I'm not wearing any clothes in this scene. I was like, you go, grandma. Like, whatever. So it has potential to be something that I'll really enjoy. It also might be something that instead of binging it, I might watch it little pieces at a time. I tend to do better with procedural, like crime drama stuff like that to watch little bits at a time. I have several American shows that I like watching either weekly or just for that like comfort watches where we see serial killers and all that kind of stuff. But like my go-to one right
Aww.
now is Will Trent. He has this cute little chihuahua that a little Betty that I love watching. And so yeah, it may end up being like that where I just kind of watch it here and there when I'm waiting for other shows to happen. But she's an ex-cop who works with insurance inspectors, and they try to hunt down this mysterious killer who I watched their setup of trying to kill this person, and I actually was like, oh, I should not be so impressed with all of their how they're going about this, but I'm actually really impressed with the serial killer person and their setup versus the other side of like eventually I'm sure that they'll show Inspector Goo's wonderful inspecting abilities and why she's so special or whatever. But so far I've been really impressed with the other side of it. We'll see. We'll see. That's
Yeah, you'll
my
get there.
what I'm watching that nobody else is watching right now show.
Well, that's because I watched it when it aired. Just saying.
Right. Yeah.
So it's still on Netflix, which is good to know. Yeah.
It
Oh, this
is
was
still
back in
on Netflix.
2021.
Yeah. It's again, it was it and who with 2021, I could have just started it and been like, it's the pandemic and I can't handle anything that's stressful and not like super bubblegummy and hearts and
Yeah.
sausages or whatever KBUs always says. But
Flowers and sausages.
flowers and sausages, yeah.
Life can't
Yeah.
always be flowers and sausages. So, I actually started Killer Paradox while I was in Portland and hanging out with K-Muse and Drama Geek. So I was with K-Muse when we started this. And we watched the first episode, and then I finished, moved on and watched maybe the second or third. So it's one that's sort of like I'm slowly working on, but it's a Killer Paradox. It's starring Che Woo-shik, and I like him. I like him a lot. I think he's a really, really good actor. This one follows the story of Yi Tang. He's a college student. He works part-time at like a convenience store. He gets into this argument with a customer at night. He's sort of like he's walking back and he's sort of like almost like attacked by the guy, but he basically hits him with a hammer and kills him. And so he kind of like runs home and again cinematography, like there are, it's almost hard to follow because there's all of the way this is filmed. So anyway, it's but it's something I noticed, just saying. Anyway, so he learns one day that the person that he killed was a serial killer, and then all of a sudden he's like begins to realize that he has like this supernatural ability to identify like bad people. And so he becomes a dark hero who punishes people who committed unethical acts in the past. And then
I didn't
he's,
know the part about him having supernatural ability to do it.
well, he believes he
Interesting.
does because he can now
Oh, he believes
determine
he
if
does.
somebody is bad. And so
Okay.
he is chased though by a persistent detective who's kind of like following this his path and going to hunt him down. So I'm early on, so I don't actually know if it's a real supernatural ability or a perceived supernatural
Perceived.
ability. So we'll see. And then, so anyway, but of course, Che Woo-shik is just a great actor, and I really enjoy him. So I'm intrigued enough that I will keep watching. It is definitely graphic, and there are some kind of like. I wouldn't recommend it to the Maknae, for example. Not her kind of show, but it's because it's a little gritty. It's definitely a more I was going to say for a more mature audience, not meaning Hey.
that
I mean, I will admit I have my childish moments, but Yeah, I just mean you have to. Yeah, it's got some scenes, so I
okay.
just would say that But I love his acting. So I'm totally on board anytime that he's on my screen. And
Okay.
that is that show, Killer Paradox, A Killer Paradox.
All right. So, should we move on to what we're going to be watching soon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and we've already talked about Queen of Tears because somebody scooped that one, not
That's
naming
right.
names.
It's not that we're going to be watching it soon. We're already watching it. Well, I'm already watching it.
If
It is
you're
on.
on the East Coast, we started podcasting super early this morning. There was no way that I was going to be able to watch it unless I got up at 6 a.m.
And who does that if they don't have to?
Kind of questioning your commitment. I mean, if you really
Yeah.
wanted to, you could have. I'll
I
say when
honestly,
the.
until I was looking up what starts, I didn't even realize it started today. So maybe if I'd have realized it started today, I
Right.
wouldn't have. I definitely wouldn't have. My dog and cat woke me up this morning like, "Hey, mom, I know your alarm doesn't go off for another 45 minutes, but could you wake up and pay
Yeah.
attention to me?" Yeah,
Yeah.
but no.
So demanding, the pets.
Definitely.
All right. So the two others we have are The Midnight Studio and Chicken Nugget. Drama Geek, which one do you want to talk about?
Can I do Midnight Studio?
Go for it, because I want Chicken
Okay.
Nugget.
Okay. All right. So, Ju-won, who I actually have not been able to watch, I think the last couple of the. What did he do after Tomorrow? I did watch some of that and then got really icked out by the relationship with his mom.
Oh, the Alice one?
Yeah. Oh, it was Alice,
Oh,
not Tomorrow. Yeah. I don't.
yeah,
Yeah. I
Alice.
don't know what he did after. I have drama my drama list right here, so I can just look and see. He did
He hasn't really done much. He,
Dealer
like,
the Treasure Keeper. I don't
heard about that
remember
but didn't
that
watch
one.
it.
Love Empress. Oh, that was 2020. That
Love
was that. I don't
Express.
know. Oh, Love Express, and that was Chinese maybe.
Chinese drama.
Anyway, so I don't know what the Stealer, the Treasure. I don't know. That was it was on TVing? Is it TVing? Is that what? I don't know.
I think so.
And that one probably didn't come. Like, I bet you anything it was one that we never got over here. Because that's one that, if it's not on my drama list, is like Vicky or any of that. It probably just never, we never got it. We didn't get to see it last year. Anyway, so Ju-won, it's the first drama. Well, and who knows if I'll actually finish it, but it sounds very intriguing. He's a photographer and he runs a small photo studio. He's the seventh owner of the photo studio, and the shop is only for ghosts. Ki-ju takes support. So Ju-won's character, Ki-ju, takes portraits of the ghosts that come into the store. I'm not sure why ghosts need portraits or
Yeah,
what they do
and
with
how do
them
they
or where they
pay?
hang them. But so Han Bom is a lawyer who is passionate about her work. She is played by Kwang Nara. And does not tolerate injustice because, of course, somehow she ends up in a partnership with Kiju's photo studio. The studio also has two employees. It has assistant manager Go, who is played by Yoo In-soo, who is the he is was in All of Us Are Dead. He was in Alchemy of Soul. He's At a Distance, Spring is Green. He was in Stranger Season 2, Moment of 16. Like, he's been in, he was in Death's Game. It looks like he was a classmate, The Good Bad Mother. He's been in a lot of stuff. But so he brings in the ghosts to get their photo taken. And then you have another employee who is in charge of taking small chores and around the store. That's the description. So we have a photo studio that takes pictures of ghosts. And other than that, this lawyer, who knows how she ends up his partner. So I haven't seen a preview. I don't know. I'm sure that it's out there since it starts March 11th. So it starts this week. It's a what, Monday, Tuesday drama, if I'm getting my dates correct. And it's 16 episodes and it is on Viki, who is the original. I don't know if it says
DNA.
who. Oh, okay. So it's on
So,
this, the.
Attorney Woo.
The network, yeah, the network that started and hit big with Attorney Woo. No, yeah.
Yes,
Yeah.
Extraordinary
Woo,
Attorney
yeah.
Woo.
Extraordinary Attorney Woo, and has done other things since then, but it does say it's available. It's going to be available on Viki. I love Ju-won. He doesn't always pick the stuff that I'm like dying to watch, but I will always give him a chance. And then Quan Nara, I do enjoy her as well. She was the second female lead in Itaewon Class.
Yeah, she was the girl that I was trying to think like how to describe her, but
she was like the high school friend of his or something like that. Or
the one that was always put together and they walk around and they I was just picturing the scene where she's walking into the bar and she's like, yeah. So Quan Nara, the one that I'm actually interested in seeing back on the screen is Han Gru, who has she's gonna play the wife of Namgu, who's like, again, not the main, it says he's a main role actually. So she only has a support role, but she was the lead in Marriage Not Dating.
She
which
was,
I and then... loved so much. So I'm really interested to see, again, she's sort of faded from this, you know, the scene a little bit because she got married in like 2015. Then she had baby. And then she got divorced. And so I think she kind of left the kind of the small screen so that she could kind of focus on her family. And now she's back and in this way. So hopefully she'll do a really good job and we can see her move into lead roles again. I really loved her in Marriage Not Dating.
Yeah. She's very entertaining.
So we'll see. This sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm totally on board.
All right, now tell us about Chicken Nugget.
Okay, so I'll give you the plot synopsis and then I'll tell you why I'm excited. Okay, so this is Chicken Nugget, which is a 10-episode Netflix drama, which it's going to all drop at once. It looks like this week, March 15th is this week, yes?
It's Friday.
Yeah.
My anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Hey, happy anniversary.
Yeah.
21
all right.
Years.
Woo. Go you. And Mr. Drama Geek. That's a partnership. All right. So Chicken Nugget tells the strange story of how a beautiful young girl turns into a fried chicken because she happens to enter a mysterious machine. As I tell my children, avoid the mysterious machines. Do not walk into them.
You don't want to become fried chicken.
Yes. Don't drink the glowy juice. Don't walk into the mysterious machines. Simple life lessons.
Avoid the white chuckadoom. Yeah.
The glowy juice. What?
I said, and avoid that white chuckadoom.
Yes. Do that too. All right. So the story then follows Che Sun Man, her father, and Gobek Jung, an intern who join efforts to turn her back to human and discover deep, dark secrets in the process. Because of course they do. But why I'm interested is because, so I saw the beginning where she does walk in and turn into a chicken nugget, but then it cuts to the efforts by Sun Man and Baek Jung as they're trying to figure out what's going on. And Che Sun Man, who's her father, is played by Ru Sung Rong, who was, he was in a movie. He was the really strong one who recovered from everything.
He was the dad. He was the dad in that. Yeah. Who, by the way, made fried chicken.
Yes.
Exactly.
And then his intern or helper.
He has been in tons of movies. Yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing. And then his intern or helper or whatever is Anje Hong.
I can say melodramatic. Right. Yeah.
Yes, be melodramatic, Fight for My Way, Legend of the Blue Sea, Reply 98 is the older brother. I mean, he's been in a lot and I like him. And so, but just from the trailer, just their back and forth and their chemistry, I'm just like, this is going to be a fun bromance. I don't even care what happens to her. I just want to watch them in their journey. So that's why I'm here for it. I want to see them bumble around and try to save this chicken nugget.
It's the craziest premise.
So ridiculous.
I mean, like, I thought it was crazy when we were talking about a drama a few years ago where the guy becomes a cat and sleeps in her bed and all that. Like, that was crazy, right?
Oh, Cat the Meow Boy. I hated that.
I know. But now we have, I mean, like, she turns into fried chicken, guys. Like, fried chicken.
Like, you can't eat it ever again.
Promo poster, the dad's carrying a box of chicken nuggets and the other guy has a chicken nugget on a stick and she's in the background and it's like, that's her in the box. She's chicken nuggets. Oh, it sounds funny. Yeah. I think we should do a throwback of like, because there's something came up the other day and it was, I don't know why it ended up on my YouTube shorts, but it was the one woman in that be melodramatic that her husband is no longer there, and like, but it's a flashback scene, and they're like coming in and they're like being romantic, and the brother is sitting on the couch and he's like, I get it. I know that you do that in your relationship, but could you please just not do it when I'm around? And it like, it's set up, it's done so well. And I love the brother was the one who was in Tomorrow. That's I do know which one now that I'm saying Tomorrow again. That's the one
Reaper
with
one. Where
So he was a Reaper. I love him as an actor. He'd been in a couple of things after that, but like he was the brother in that one. And I think we should do like a throwback on certain ones that I don't know if this new round, especially people that came in on Crash Landing on You, I don't know that they would watch that, or they would even like go back to think about, because it doesn't have a lot of people in it other than the that actress. She's gone on to do a lot of, like, she was in Vincenzo, she's the lead actress in that. Everybody knows her from that. But if you go back and watch Be Melodramatic, she did a fantastic job in that, and that one is just funny all the way through. And Ahn Jo-hong and his green onions and his, like, he was hilarious in that one, and I loved his character in that one. So that one's like, so if anybody hasn't seen that and you're listening to this and you need something that really makes you laugh, go watch that one, and then watch Chicken Nugget, because it's going to be even more Be Melodramatic.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. the way that we got to this through Drama
Geek's convoluted chat
is because yes, because we said that the intern in this story is played by the yes,
it is,
who was in Be Melodramatic, and then it reminded her of the other actress that was in Be Melodramatic, which then reminded her of Vincenzo. But then she went back to discussing Be Melodramatic and was like, "Hey, if you started watching dramas during the Crash Landing on You kind of phase, you might not know about this really cool drama called Be Melodramatic." So,
how's that? Sorry, guys. I have a headache that has been blooming for a while. My train of thought usually makes sense, but I apologize that
it made perfect sense. I just
you had to recap it.
Yeah, we just mapped it right back. So.
I'll add my part. Be Melodramatic, because I looked it up, is on Viki or on Netflix, depending on your region. So
perfect.
Okay.
Fun, fun, fun. I think the new ones sound super fun, and I can't wait to give them a try and for us to come back and talk about them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We'd love to hear what you thought about this episode and what you think you're going to watch, or if we've talked you into watching something. You can reach us on Twitter, on Facebook, or on our Patreon page. The links are in our show notes.
We love blogging about Asian dramas, but behind the scenes, we have so much more to say and want to share it with you. And talking is so much faster than typing.